Which is a more likely reunion, Vinny? Mauricio Pochettino and Tottenham or Vinny Perth and Dundalk?
There was the setup. I see it.
OTB AM. Weekdays from 7:30 AM. Listen on the OTB Sports app. The OTB Podcast Network with GetSetGo. Are you ready for quick start car insurance? Get a quote today at GetSetGo.ie.
GAA on Off The Ball.
Now you're welcome, Max. So the league obviously is progressing in Division 2. Clare are going very well. They had two wins against Kildare in Newbridge and against Laois, a 1-point defeat to Cork on Sunday. And so it all means that on Sunday the 13th of June, 1:45 in Ennis, it'll be Clare versus Mayo. Division 2 last four game, in effect a game for promotion to Division 1, which would be quite something. And of course Kerry to come in the Munster Championship on June 26th. So it's a long way from 8 years ago, Colm Collins, when you took over and it was Division 4 football. You're very welcome.
Thank you very much. Lovely to be with you.
So I presume we were just talking with Mike Quirk there, and he was saying this league campaign, for understandable reasons, has kind of zipped by in a blur, really. It's all been very, very quick. How have you found the whole thing?
Yeah, it's been tough in the sense that, you don't get the same time. You've got to quickly prepare for the next game, and, there's very little opportunity for fellas that... to break in, really, unless there's an injury. So that it's difficult. It is difficult, but it is what it is, and it's the same for everybody.
How are you with injuries? Mike was saying Laois were missing 9 at the weekend.
Yeah, we've got a few injuries, but not too bad. I think a lot of credit due to our medical, physio. Medical team and S&C man that has kept their, has really monitored their loads and tried to keep it to a minimum. So I think, we can't really complain. I don't think we've anything to complain about as regards it. It's nothing as bad as that anyway.
Mm. We should mention David Tuberty before we forget it, because Michael Verney had the piece here in the Irish Independent. I hadn't realised this, maybe you had, but in the 100 years odd of league football, David Tuberty is now the top scorer of all time with his performance at the weekend. So 22 goals, 412 points, a total of 478 points. He's 34, he's been on the go since 2007, and here he is, highest score tally in the league of all time. There's a lot of big names behind him, so that is a really impressive feat, and probably one of those things that, because of the nature of the league, the rest of us aren't noticing as much.
Yeah, I suppose this, I've had a privilege of being with dealing with David on numerous occasions. I was a selector on a minor team that he was on, and he was incredibly accurate at that time, and he's. I wasn't aware this of this until Monday or Tuesday when it came out, and what a fantastic guy and a fantastic servant to Clare football, special person, special footballer, and it's well deserved, because he's extremely dedicated. He's one of these constant positive influence in the group, and delighted for him.
He was saying here in the paper that obviously he's getting on now at 34. One of the younger lads in the panel was asking him if he'd had the jab yet, but there's life in the old dog.
I don't think so. I don't. No. Hopefully, there's a good few more years left in him. He's playing really well, and we're delighted to have someone as talented as that in our panel.
You're into your 8th year now, which is a record. Now that Mickey Hart's gone, it's the longest anybody's been with the one county. You have taken Clare out of Division 4. I think this is now Division 2 status for 5 years running. There was obviously the All-Ireland quarter-final in 16. I think you're quietly doing one of the best jobs in the country. I know you're probably too humble to say that. I was reading a piece where you did get the players together when you first took the job and Clare were in Division 4. And you did say to them, "We absolutely." It was at the Ennis West County Hotel in 2013. With the talent in this room, we should be in the top 16 in the country.
Yeah, I suppose at the time, it's very important that when you set goals and targets, that that they're realistic. And I felt that was quite a realistic goal at the time. and I think it has proven to be. The challenge now is to try and get to the top table, which is the sort of the top eight. And you know, we've got in a over a week's time, we've got a chance in a one-off game with Mayo to get there.
Yeah, in Ennis. So I mean, you'll give that a right good go, I would suspect.
Yes, absolutely delighted that it's at home. You know, it's a special ground, and you know, the weekend. You know, it's really well. There's a great, fantastic group of people that take care of the pitch there, and it just was like Augusta the weekend. It was absolutely perfect. You know, so there's delighted that we got the home draw.
Were you always staying on for another year after last year? Colm, I know the Clare players publicly came out and said, absolutely stay on. What was your mindset after the Tipperary game with a view to 2021?
You know, my mindset after the Tipperary game was to step down.
Right.
I think that, you know, we're very disappointed with everything that last year. I think that we dealt very badly with COVID, with the you know.
In what ways?
I don't think that we got the most out of the group, you know, in the second half of the year. I think that pre-COVID we were really in a good spot. Had an excellent display in our last game against Cavan, real battle up there, and came away with the points. And after we came back then, I don't think we were near as good, and I would take responsibility for that. I think that you know, there was a lot of difficulties associated with COVID, and I felt as a management team we didn't deal with them well, and you know, our displays after we came back were poor. We scraped over Fermanagh, and then we had Armagh in a one-off game to go to Division One, and had played well for up to about 10 minutes to go, and then let Armagh slip away, and we were very disappointing against Tipperary. So that it was quite a disappointing season, and I was well prepared to step down.
Right. And was it fitness, Colm, or was it down to your tactical plan, or what was the big issue?
I suppose we rely a lot on video analysis, and we've an excellent group of people in the background that do a great job here. But because of the fact that we had to stay out, we were very careful about COVID, about the COVID situation. We took no chances. We didn't go inside. We didn't use the dressing rooms, and any kind of coaching and preparation was done outside in the rain. And it's very hard to retain players' concentration in that situation. And I don't think it worked. And we weren't as well prepared as we possibly should have been.
Right. That's very honest. What persuaded you to stay on?
When the season finished, nothing happened for a while, and we got the feedback from the players, which we get every year, and they were asking to stay on, and basically the county board refused to let me go. Basically, that was it. you know, but I suppose it was understandable in the sense that because of I won't get too big headed about this one. I think because the season had gone on so long, it was going to be very difficult for anybody to put a management team in place at that stage of the year. So that that was kind of the main thing. Obviously, you can't go anywhere without the support of the players. That's you know, but you also need the support of the people that have their say and who's putting you there. So there's you know. So that was the situation. So we stayed on, and I mean, I would like to stress here that this is very much a group of people. It's not a one person show by any manner of means. There's a fantastic group of people in the background, and they all do their job so well. And that's the main reason why, you know, there's at times we pull off results that maybe people think we shouldn't be pulling off. I think there's you know, it's due to a very professional group of people who work really hard and behind the scenes, you know.
I'm sure it is. And Colm, when you say the county board wouldn't let me go, had it got so serious that you'd almost tendered your resignation or given them the indication that I'm pretty much done here? Had you said that to them?
Well, I felt that it was time to go. I think that I had, I think longer than anyone ever did the Clare job before I had done. So, but I would accept that it was a particularly difficult in a normal season. You know, if it was a normal season, we would be out of the championship in, it would have been May, June, and the county board would have plenty of time to source somebody, so that it was, but this was different, you know, it was, but to be fair now, you didn't need much persuading, I would say, you know. Once I had the support of the board and the players, right. I was happy to stay on. And of course, that, you know, our management team were interested in staying on. We had an excellent football coach, Brian Carson, and he wanted to step down for his own reasons, and we were sorry to lose him, but we were very fortunate to get a replacement for him who's done really well, Jerry McGowan from Sligo, and is an excellent coach. So, but all the rest of the group wanted to stay on, so that was a major factor as well in staying on.
And you say there that you get feedback from the players every year. So if at any stage over the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years the word from the players had been a bit lukewarm and we're not quite sure this is going well, you wouldn't necessarily have tried to win them over or impose yourself on the group. You'd be done.
I'd be happy enough to step down, yeah. Right. Absolutely. You know, I think that, you know, these setups, it's very important that the players are fully committed and fully support whoever's in charge of them, that you have the hope. The players are the most important thing, really. I mean, you could do nothing without the players being on board.
I guess with amateurism, it's not like you can turn around and say you're being paid 50, 60, 70 grand a week, you'll do what you're told. You need that buy-in, I presume, more so than in professional sport.
Absolutely, you know, absolutely. It's so important because, like you correctly pointed out, you can't just say you're going to be docked a week's wages or whatever. These fellas give an incredible commitment without getting paid. And, you know, they deserve tremendous credit. You know, my view on this is these fellas are professional athletes without getting paid. You know, that's what they are. You know, that they deserve tremendous credit.
And is your mind made up that this is your last year, or would you be open to staying on?
Again, without, you know, I'm not trying to dodge the question, but I'm not going to make a decision now. We will do the same thing as we've done every year. We will do an audit at the end of the year where the players get to anonymously, I might add, give their feedback.
Right.
And we'll make a decision on that basis. But as I said, I'm just one of a group of excellent people that are doing a really, really good job.
It's a very interesting way of doing business. I hadn't really heard too many managers doing it that way, so it is very interesting. Something I wanted to ask you, I just read this, so I could be way off here. I don't know my Clare club football as well as you, obviously. So I'll put something to you, and I may have this the wrong end of the stick here, but I was reading there are only 12 senior clubs in Clare, and most of them are along the west coast, are kind of coastal clubs. So I'm wondering, is that the case? And if so, is there some kind of interesting phenomenon there? The wind coming in off the Atlantic maybe puts manners on them. They have to be better footballers. What's the word down in Clare?
Well, there are days when you'd be playing in some of the pitches, and you'd really want to be skillful to get the ball over the bar with the breeze that'd be blowing. Traditionally, I think football in Clare has been based in West and North Clare, which takes in all of the coastline, really, right up from Ballyvaughan, I suppose, the team at the top, down to the Navan, which would be the team at Loophead. So, but you've also got, you know, teams in the you know, the urban areas like Aeroge, Dura Bearfield, Shannon and Cratlow, where you know, you've got pretty decent football teams in those clubs as well.
And I was reading as well, in fact it was David Tuberty who was doing an interview a while back, and he was saying that one of the things is about you is you get on very well with people, lots of good relationships with clubs, really good relationship with the county board. Does that come naturally to you, or is it something you work at and you prioritise consciously? Because I guess it's very easy to fall out with people and put noses out of joint. You don't seem like that sort naturally, I must say.
You mightn't be correct there, no.
Right, okay.
I'll have to say, but I believe strongly that without the support of the clubs, you're on a hiding to nothing.
Yeah.
Without the support of the county board, you're on a hiding to nothing. So there's a... It's very important that you look past petty arguments and squabbles and then look at the big picture and what's best for Clare football. So that I think that it's simple enough. If you have any hope of success, everyone has to be on board. I would rate the support of the board over the period that I've been involved as one of the most important things in the fact that we've been able to do well. It's vital that you have that support and that there isn't constant arguing and bickering over silly stuff, like, you know.
And you've managed to avoid that, have you? Because, I mean, certainly the last couple of months, obviously, it's report after report of petty squabbles all the way. You've managed to kind of circumvent a lot of that, have you?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's something that hasn't been a factor for us, really.
Right.
We've just stayed out of it and got on with our business. I didn't have any of those issues, so I didn't see any point in getting involved in it.
So, to look ahead to the next few weeks, Mayo, as I said, on June 13th, and then Kerry, June 26th. So, it's both daunting and very exciting for you as well. I presume you're hitting the video analysis pretty hard and getting prepped and all that kind of stuff. I mean, are you kind of buzzing at a time like this? Are you a little bit grumpy around the house, or are you rubbing your hands at the prospect of the next month?
I'm very much looking forward to the prospect of playing. You know, I suppose that Mayo definitely are the second best team in the country, and their results speak for themselves. I suppose Kerry are the traditional powerhouse. Their locker or their trophy cabinet says it all there.
Mm.
And they had a bit of a mishap last year, but on any given year you would be expecting to see them in Croke Park at the latter stages of the championship. So it's two fantastic games to be looking forward to, and we'd be delighted with the way things have fallen here. It's one is great preparation for the other. Mm. So that it's a really exciting time. A team of Mayo's quality to welcome them to Cusick Park, that's fantastic. And then 2 weeks later we go to Killarney, which would be, as I often say, if you can't play football in Killarney when the sun is shining, you shouldn't be playing football there. If you're not looking forward to it, it's a fantastic venue, and we're really looking forward to both games.
Okay, good stuff. Well, listen, the best of luck. Eighth year in charge, and Mayo for a place in Division 1 is a long way from Division 4. So best of luck with that, and then Kerry, obviously, on June 26th. Colm Collins, pleasure. Thanks so much, Colm.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
GAA on Off the Ball.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetSetGo. Are you ready for Quickstart Car Insurance? Get a quote today at GetSetGo.ie.